The Coach Peggy Show. All things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. How many people in your life have told you you're half of this or half of that? Are you settling? No more. This show is about all things, and you deserve it. It's about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. We extinguish excuses and raise the bar to all things possible. It's time to use your ATM, you know, your all things mindset. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. Bold, badass, and never half in.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Coach Peggy Show, and I am Coach Peggy, and this is the place where we talk about all things wellness. And if you're ever confused about what that is, hop onto my website, because it's 24 spokes, a really big wellness wheel, and that's why I have Crappy to Happy book, the co-authors here, and the forward, the person who wrote the forward here, because Crappy to Happy is about 30 beautiful stories about transformation, about love, about relationships, about sexuality, about trying to find the best in the crap and making it happy. So that's why they fit so perfectly into my month. And so it was Crappy to Happy Month here on the Coach Peggy Show. So listen, I always start with a quote, don't I? So David's going to plop up my quote, and I always pull up something that's related to the show. Today, happiness is not the belief that we don't need to change. It's the realization that we can. Sean Aker. We can change, you guys. It's yucky kind of in the middle, but when we come out the other side, we're like, what? That's amazing. Okay, so I have, as I said, the co-authors here, and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. I have Ariel Patricia, and then I have James Redfield that wrote the forward, as I said. So for those of you who are walking around, you can't see their beautiful faces because you're listening. I know you are. You're getting a coffee. But I have everybody's face in here, and we all have something to drink, except James afforded, because that's what I want to say, informed us that he doesn't have anything to drink. So I don't know, James, you're going to get thirsty. You can take a break. Oh, you just had your coffee. Yeah, so I just learned during break, you guys, before we came on, that three of us in here, Kathleen, myself, and James, we're all in Florida. Ariel apparently has hopped on her jet, and she's on her way. So she will expect her at any point. I'm so excited to have you guys here. And one thing I wanted to just cover before we get started, it's so timely to have you. I was just saying that I had a couple of clients today that are so stressed out about the election. So those of you who aren't in the US, I talk to you guys too. And sometimes you say to me, what's going on over there? And I get it. Next Tuesday is election day. And so you are going to feel better after the show. I promise. Coach Peggy will come to your house and give you a hug. James, are you excited to be here? Kathleen, Ariel?
Oh, yeah.
What would they say? If they said no, what would I do about it? You know, I mean, Dave, what would I do about it? So, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Nobody that ever goes on any radio show or TV show loves bios. They hate it. They don't want to do it whatsoever, but I have to do it because they're that amazing. So James, I'm going to talk about you for a second. He's an American author, a lecturer, screenwriter, film producer. He wrote the book Celestine Prophecy. Celestine. Why do I want to say that? Celeste. You know, I love it. But you wrote that book, and it has become one of the most successful books of all time because it's using an adventure parable approach, which is so cool, where the reader identifies a character to seek greater spiritual experience. So this model resonated with millions of people, you guys. And you have written four books. Is that right? You have another one coming out in 2021?
Well, four novels in the series. And yeah, one more coming out in 21.
And for those of you who can't see him, I asked him if he's read all the books behind him, and he's spanned to his far right. It's like this infinite hallway full of books. So I am so glad that you're here, James, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Yes. So the first thing I want to ask you is, how did you get the call? Like, who called you to write the foreword of this book, and what did they say to you?
Well, I think it was a call in the middle of the night, and somebody was having a dream, and they said that, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, okay, wow, this is great. This isn't a corporate America show, you guys, where we have work-life balance, apparently.
Okay, I think Tricia, you called and got in touch with me. I can't even remember, actually. And then we talked about it many times. And I love the book. I love the book because it really looks at what I call the comeback. When you get knocked back, you know, in my books, I call it finding the silver lining. But it's a, yeah, there's so many flavors and steps that so many of the contributors talked about. It was just a great smorgasbord of, you know, how you can get yourself back on the journey that is your birthright. I call it the spiritual journey, you know, where we experience, you know, intuitive guidance. These mysterious coincidences that are opening up clarity about who we are, what we want to do in the world. You know, that's our birthright. And in the forward, I try to set the stage historically for where we are, what time it is in the world. Mm-hmm. And we've got three generations that are right now asking the larger questions. You know, you got boomers saying, how can I leave a legacy? How can I help the world? You got millennials at 38 to 41 going, I've done it. I've made my parents happy. I've got a job. I've had the kids. Got a relationship. But is this all there is? Right. Every generation asks that at 38 to 41 because there's got to be more, right? Well, yeah, there is more. But they're asking those questions. How do I get more inspiration, what I really want to do with my life? And then you have their kids, older kids, finishing up high school going, oh, my God, I'm about to be on my own. How does one do that in this world? Right. So you got three huge generations asking kind of for help, higher. Besides that, there is more meditation, prayer, kinds of contemplations going on in the world than ever before. And whenever that happens, what occurs is that consciousness goes up. You got all this questioning. And then, to beat all, we all have experienced this shutdown, and we won't talk about whether it was necessary or not. We'll just say it happened. And in that is what I consider a spiritual reset. And in that, talking about timely, you know, this book came across my desk, and I thought, there you go, because it's a spiritual reset, right?
Yeah.
I call the book Enlightened because of its many very practical.
The timing of it, that was one of the things I was going to ask the girls who co-authored it. I was like, seriously, because one of you or somebody told me that this book kind of fell-ish together. Like there were conversations, but then it just like yapple-dapple kind of fell into place. I know it wasn't planned during COVID, but the timing of it was just amazing.
Well, you know, whenever there's a darkness, the light breaks through, and this is one. This is a book that, you know, there's so many people, situations that we can all identify with. Mm-hmm. Or I should say, one can identify with at least one of them.
And exactly.
So it's broadly impactful out there. And, you know, it points the right way because, you know, we have to connect spiritually to really get all of life, you know, get all this flow going. And you know, I like to say it's never been easy right now, in spite of all the hard the economic impacts and you know, something like 26 million people lost everything because of the shutdowns.
We have more in common than not.
And, you know, that's an impact. You know, almost everybody had a slap in the face of some kind.
That's right.
And so, you know, when we look at what happened, you know, the silver lining is find the spiritual reset that we know more about now than ever before. So, psychologically, practically, you know, connecting into what I call spiritual consciousness has never been easier because we know so much about the steps. And so it begins with the comeback, but that's not where it should stop. It begins mm-hmm. with, you know, stepping into the understanding of how the world really works spiritually, so that all of a sudden we get in alignment with the karma and everything else that's right. operating. And I think we know all about that now.
If you set all three, you know, representatives of all three of those generations in a room, and you were standing up there, what kind of commonalities would you find in their questions, or would they be different in regards to, like, you know, what's next, or who am I going to be when I grow up?
Well, they would be different because of the, you know, you just think about fun and sure. distractions and all that.
Sure.
Later, you start to realize you have responsibilities to keep the world going, really, to keep humanity going. Mm-hmm. And then there's the relationships and children and all that happen. But then at a certain point, you move into, and again, in part because of what's happened, I think all these three huge generations are moving into the question of, well, how do I find my greatest inspiration in this mm-hmm. world?
So do you see them as, do you see the possibility of somewhat holding hands in between those three generations and walking a little bit together? Or do you feel it's just three different lanes of trying to figure that out, given that we've got different responsibilities? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what's unifying is that the answer is the same.
That's right? Yeah, that's where I was headed. I was curious, if they're all sitting in the room and you had them there, what commonality would be some of the questions?
I've had that group. Mm-hmm. And once we get to the spiritual language, right? And the spiritual language begins with, okay, if synchronicity works, right? Synchronicity, Carl Jung, the founder of the human potential movement, if synchronicity works, and that's the experience of meaningful coincidences that seem to be drawing your life in a certain direction, right? It pays off intuitively, and you go, oh my God, that's inspiration energy I feel, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
But if synchronicity happens in the world, right? If that happens, then we live in a spiritual world.
Right.
We don't live in a material world. We have help. And once you understand that synchronicity exists, then it's about, well, how do I have more, right? And that's the clarity, I believe, with, you know, the human potential movement starting with Jung 100 years ago is now coming to conclusions, I believe, a synthesis, a kind of consensus about what are the working parts, you know, how do you step into the synchronistic flow, what's intuitive intelligence, and how do you open that up?
And what different kind of modalities are okay.
What kind of meditation works? You know, prayer, meditation, there's something about sitting alone. And I believe the fastest way to open up to an intuitive intelligence is opening the heart up, right? Mm-hmm. That's what stabilizes emotions. That's what allows us to be secure within, no matter what is happening. We know there's a way out. We'll be guided into the way out. You know, all those things are becoming increasingly clear in terms of stepping into, again, spiritual consciousness, right?
It's like, aha.
Uh-huh.
So for you to decide to write this forward, because it's not easy to, I mean, you don't just put your name on anything. I mean, if everybody's smart, right? You're a good business guy, you're smart. And I was just curious, you know, you've got the contributors, you have the stories, you get that call. Did you have to think about it? Did it just align? Did you have a synchronicity? What made you go,
sure.
Yeah, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, you know, that kind of book.
Yeah.
You know, we would have to all go write that book if it hadn't already been written, right?
Right.
For this shutdown. So, that was perfect synchronicity, and the authors had the wisdom of following that intuition. And when you follow intuitions, they usually pay off in big successes.
Yeah. Hey, you guys that are listening, I just want to let you know, I want to introduce Kat and Ariel, who are here, so we open up this conversation. So Kat and I have met a couple of times. Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis. I love to say her name. It sounds like an elegant 50s, you know, movie star. She's accredited as a psychopathologist and special education. She taught at the University of South Florida here near Fort Myers, near where I am, and for 10 years was an instructor for severely emotionally handicapped. Kat has beaten cancer 3 times, not one, not two, but 3. And she was a subject for the Breast Cancer Dream Research Project at Duke. She's been on Dr. Oz. Had to say that. No, she wouldn't say that. I had to say it. She's written several books, and obviously she's a co-author to this book, Crappy to Happy. Now I want to just bring in Ariel real quick and just give you the spiel about Miss Ariel here, who, by the way, if you can't see her, I absolutely love that she has such gorgeous hair. I wish you guys could see her. Okay, so Ariel, I'm just trying to look. I'm literally trying to figure out where the heck I just put your... Don't tell me. I've got it right here. I was like, where is her bio? I could read it. She's an ordained minister and founder and CEO of Sacred Stories Book Publishing and Marketing Company. She served 6 years as a U.S. Marine, you guys. It's amazing. As a sergeant, she has a master's of arts in education and a bachelor's in science and business. Ariel is a sought-after keynote speaker and an avid volunteer. Yes, she is. Now, she's been on ABC. I mean, James, I'm starting to feel like we need to get on TV with these two. I don't know. So she's written a couple of books, co-authored several books, and you guys hop in the conversation. First of all, welcome. Hop into the conversation now with James. Timely, 3 generations he's talking about. How do you guys feel about some of the stuff, the synchronicity and things that, Ariel, what are your thoughts with what James was saying?
Yeah, so James, I was so happy when you said 38 to 41, because as I was turning 40, I left my career in corporate because I was feeling the call to do something more meaningful. And I went to get my graduate degree in education, and I went and moved into education, in the field in education, for a decade. So I was like, I'm right on time. I never thought I was on time for anything, and I think I'm right on time. So what also struck me about what James was talking about is that, you know, there's the unifying emotions we all feel. So the answer is the same, right? Because we feel, because we may not have the same experience. So it's like you said, the stories in the book, some are about relationships, health, sexuality, addiction. One of mine is about being a joy seeker, you know, but the experiences, the emotions we feel from the experiences are the same. We feel fear, we feel despair, we feel hope, we feel joy, we feel the same things. And so I think that's why, right, James, the answers are the same, because the emotions we feel is part of humanity, right? It's the same. And that's why I love stories. And that's why my companies are Sacred Stories, because the power of the story is that unifying point where we come together.
I love that. Yeah. That's probably why a book like this is almost, it's living. You know, it's like I could read your story as a joy seeker. And, you know, I was saying before we started that I resonate with that, because I'm just looking for the to do. Tell me what to do so I can do it, so I can get an A. I'm a hoop jumper, you know, gold star. Can't seem to master this sitting still thing, because what am I going to get done? And so I resonated with your story, and a year from now, I'm going to be in a different place, different feeling, different emotion, maybe living somewhere different. It's like a living story. I pick it back up, any of these 30 stories, and a different feeling might come back up, or a feeling of accomplishment. Yeah. So that's what I...
You know what? I just want to just, if I can just say one more thing, because what was so striking to me was last week you had Laura Lynn Bridges and Temple Hayes and Dr. Ann Wirth on your show, right? And I was watching it, and I thought it was a phenomenal show. And so the point of the story, or the emotion in the story, Laura Lynn was, you know, Temple was talking about her sexual identity, and Laura Lynn was talking about her transgender daughter, and, you know, and someone owning their gender identity. And it's interesting, because as this book was being, you know, written, I could certainly respect, honor, have empathy for people with their different identity journeys, but I couldn't really understand it or resonated with it until I took my soul name, and Ariel is my soul name, and I combined it with my human name, Patricia, and it's part of my spiritual journey, it's part of my integration. And I've been going through this process over a number of months now, with this first time really in my life where I have shown up forward facing, front facing in a completely authentic way of the integration of my soul and my humanity and being Ariel Patricia. And it's freaking hard. It was hard. It wasn't like boom, all set. It was a process. And I started to get a glimpse, just a glimpse of what people go through and the importance of the feeling authentic in our way we show up in the world. And I never got that before. But now I get a little bit more the emotion of Temple and Laura Lynn and others that are who are showing up authentically in this world and want to be seen and felt and, you know, in their authentic selves. And that's the story. It's the emotion I'm feeling. My story is different, but the emotion is the same.
You know, when I came out of that show, I felt, I've never in one sentence said, I am ignorant. You know, I really came out of that show going, I am ignorant, because I haven't put myself in situations to have conversations like I had with them, to know right, terminology that's desired or how they feel. And I thought, I have no right to talk to any subject that, but the difference that I feel, the approach that I want to take and continue to take, is the fact of respect. That, you know, you have to, when you lead with your heart, James, as you said, you listen and you try to understand even if you can't understand. And so what you're saying of the combination of your journey and that it was hard sitting here, I've been through that. But that show last week taught me that I don't know what I don't know, and I need to own that, I need to figure it out. So it was a pretty emotional show after I shut down. I was sitting here going, I don't know anything, you know, in those lanes.
But you know, you can have a feeling, or other people can relate to a feeling of feeling authentic within their being, and the inauthentic in the way that they interact or front face with the world. So whether it's a sexual identity, gender identity, name identity, whatever way that we feel authentic in our identity, you know, we that emotion from that experience is the same.
Exactly. Kathleen, I want to have you hop on before we head to commercial for a few minutes, and of course we're going to come back. But what were your thoughts with what James said with the generation, the differences, but yet the fabric is we're all kind of, what are your thoughts on some of the things he said?
Oh, I agree completely. You know, we're different generations and we're different people and we all have different fingerprints and we all have different DNA, but we're all from universal oneness. So we all are here for a reason. We have a life purpose. And by working with each other, we're able to achieve that. And you know, James was talking about intuitive intelligence. We're all born, I believe, with intuitive intelligence. We're all born with spirit guides and guardian angels, and we're their job, and they really take that job seriously. And so I've always believed we can connect with those spirit guides through the dream world to keep us on the path that we are on in Earth.
I think COVID did that. James kind of led into that. It, you know, every country was talking, saying the same acronym. You know, everybody was looking for the numbers, whether they believed in wearing a mask or not wearing a mask or whatever it was. There was, we are one. We're human beings in the 3D world. I mean, I get that. But for the first time, we all were forced onto the same page. I can't think of any other time. Even with world wars, certain countries were involved and certain ones were like, hey, it's not me, whatever, what's up? But it just went, bam, brought us all together.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I really think that, you know, another thing that James touched on is we have to trust in our choices, in our intuitive intelligence and our choices. And I'm an avid dreamer and I have a lot of dreams that always give me a lot of information that I play on. I mean, my dreams saved my life 3 times. So I had a dream the other night where I was going across a bridge that was being reconstructed and it wasn't done. And the cars had to very carefully cross the bridge. And I looked at one of the men that were there working on it, it was a very high bridge. I'm talking, 200-300 feet down with some water. And I got out of my car and I said to the guy, "You think I'm going to drive my car across this bridge?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I'm not. I'm going to back it up now." And he said, "Yeah, but all of the officials over there said that it's safe." I said, "Yeah, but I don't trust them. I only trust me. I don't care if I have to back this car all the way up to where I came from. If you don't get the other cars to move out of the way, I'm going to bounce right off of them." And then I woke up because I started backing up my car going, "I don't trust these people, but I do trust me."
That's cool. Oh, my gosh. That's really cool. Oh, that can mean so many things. I'm sitting here spinning. Okay, we're going to head to commercial. We're going to come right back. David's going to bring up the lightning round. So you guys know that that's not rehearsed. Kathleen knows what I'm going to do. It's not rehearsed. We'll come back for lightning round. We're going to stay crappy to happy, but we're going to end up happy, of course. So you guys come right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Coach Peggy Show.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Your favorite Transformation Talk radio shows are now on Spotify. What? Simply search out your favorite host or show by name, tap the subscribe button, and boom. With over 150 million active monthly users on Spotify, Transformation Talk Radio is thrilled to expand our reach so you never have to miss an episode. Well, what the heck are you waiting for? Log into Spotify and subscribe now.
And this whole entire month I have dedicated to this. If you guys need to go back and see any of the shows, the best place to really find them, because they're visual audio, so if you don't know that, they're also live, is on my YouTube channel. You can find them there, Peggy Wilms. You can go on my website, wherever, or find the podcast, wherever you find your amazing podcasts. So this is the fourth one out of four. So that would be lots of fun for you to do. It's been fun for me to do. Had my umbrella back drop off. I usually have a bunch of different ones. So I've had this up for them for their book cover. None of you guys have even noticed that. Like, I haven't even gotten the love off of just, "Gosh, Peggy, that's really cool. It kind of matches our book cover." No. All right, we're going to go into the lightning round. So James, this is unrehearsed. I just kind of think up questions. Just want to know. So I want to know for you, what is your favorite physical activity? What do you love to do?
I don't get to play as much as I'd like, but I like golf as a pure physical sport. You know, it's also a meditation. Some people think that that golf is a mystery school for Republicans, but it's a sport you can't master. And that's what I like about.
That's true.
It's impossible to play golf.
That's really true. I'm going to tell my boyfriend that so that he has some relief. So, you know, lets the guilt off so that he doesn't feel so bad.
Oh, yeah. It's a meditation for sure.
Yeah. He's a Canadian who, of course, when you're from Canada, you've had to have had some history with hockey. And he hasn't quite figured out that they're not the same sport. So, so love you, guy. Hear you. Okay, so here's the question to you, Ariel. I want to know what's the funniest or strangest way you've ever been injured.
Ooh, I've never been injured.
You've never had a broken bone or anything like
this? No, don't ask me these questions. I'm going to get like freaked out. No.
Sometimes like me today, I have a bruise. Someday I'll show it. It's about this big on the inside of my leg. And I'm like, my gosh, my leg hurts. How is that? And my bike just fell over on it. Not that that was funny. Actually, it was funny because I was taking pictures of reindeer. It's Florida. There are reindeer decorated by the pool. And that's why my bike fell on me, because I couldn't stop fast enough. So that's my injury. So I answered it for you.
Sorry about your injury.
That's not planned. Oh my gosh, nobody's ever said that. I don't know. Okay, Kathleen, what about you? Here we go. Antique or brand new? And which is the last piece of furniture you bought? So do you like antique or brand new furniture? And what was the last piece you just bought?
Well, actually, I like antiques and brand new houses, which I'm doing. I love antiques and brand new houses. And the last thing I bought was a king size bed.
That's really cool. I don't know why I thought about that question with you, but I thought, I don't know why. I just was thinking of the two together. I expected that you were going to say, Matt, you like the combination of both of those. So that's, that would make sense with you. Yeah. Okay, you guys, so I want to know, I'm sure everybody would like to know, Ariel, you owned the publishing company that also did this book. And how do you pick, how do you put together 30-ish people to write these stories? Like, how does that happen? How do you pick them?
Yeah, we put out the call. We put out the call, said, we're looking for stories. We want your personal journey, the heroine's journey. We asked them to be, you know, find the positive, find the happy as well. And it could be a perspective or an outcome, you know, it doesn't have to be both. And we put the call out, and then people submit their stories. And then Kat and I had, you know, the fun of reading through them and then picking them from there. So, yeah.
Did you have a lot? Did you take them all? What was that process? Oh yeah, look at her face. Kat's like, thousands. My God, that's amazing.
We didn't take them all. We try to find a variety as well. So like even in the book, you know, there's all kinds of stories, and it's, you know, we mentioned a couple already, and there's many other stories. There's stories of people with their animal companions. There's stories with people's health crisis, or journeys. There's relationships. We have online dating, you know, an online dating story, which is kind of funny. And so we just, you know, we try to find the stories that resonate with us, and we figure if they resonate with us, that they'll resonate with others.
So, yeah.
And we're probably going to do a book three, just because it's so fun that we feel, you know, we haven't decided officially or anything, but I don't know, it's fun. It's just fun. For me, it's the power of telling the stories, and what better than to pull a whole bunch of stories together in one book.
Yeah, you're all joy seekers in a way. You know what I mean? You said that your story in the book, I love the way that you said that. It makes perfect sense. It is a vibration. James can probably speak to that really well, but seeking joy or finding happy or finding fun, those are things that we all try to do, and we make it so hard. James, why is it so hard? I don't want it to be that hard.
Well, it's because sometimes the joy we seek is just an ego distraction. You know, we want to feel good artificially. Joy that is in the book, those searches for joy is, you know, the soul's design. You know, our joy is to be creative and to help. You know, the whole karmic structure of this world is finding an inspiration to help, that truth to tell, whatever it is that makes your contribution on the world, in the world, very inspiring, keeps you up. You know, that's the secret. That's the opposite of depression. Right. That's why we're all having to do that consciously right now, all over the world, But that's the task, you know, that's figuring out how to do that makes you invulnerable to being slapped around all the time by negative circumstances that we and pitfalls we just blunder into.
I'd love to see. I just was sitting here thinking when I was looking at your face, I was just thinking about I've got some younger clients and actually they're getting younger, which is really interesting. Maybe because they're home, you know, and maybe because the rates I've seen with depression and suicide, unfortunately, with everybody home and not seeking having those physical relationships with their friends. And I was just thinking if this book came, you know, with crappy to happy stories of our teens and how inspirational that would be for other teens to see stories like this.
Good idea.
There you go.
I just made that up because I even had a question for my happy hour last night that this girl wrote to me and she just said, you know, I don't know what to do. We don't have PE in school, which I kind of giggled because I was like, I remember when that went away, I had to fight for my kids. But she said, we don't have PE in school and I'm not good enough to play sports. And now I can't even go bowling with my friends and I'm gaining weight and I don't like it. And she just said, help. And it's to write somebody, to send somebody an email that's a teenager. I mean, we've got to find they're happy. It's not artificial intelligence. It's AI in a different word. Emotional intelligence. And you know, Kathleen, what are your thoughts? I know you had a loss during COVID of a dear friend. And did reading this book and helping focus on this help you during this time with that loss?
I think it really did because I realized that love never dies, whether it's a family or a friend. Love holds everybody together through that universal connection, that universal heart connection. And so, talking a little bit about the teenager that wrote to you, we're not meant to be solitary creatures.
No.
we're herd animals, believe it or not. We like to be with other people. It's really important to us. Touch is very, very important, especially to tiny babies, infants. They must be touched. Without touch, without contact with humans, there's a higher rate of death in orphanages. I mean, that's a statistic. We like to touch, interact, and be with other people.
Right.
And so in our book, Crappy to Happy, that, you know, that really resonates. It's really in here strongly how important people were, how important it was to people not only to touch other people, but to touch their animals. To be with their animals and interact with their animals. So, you know, sometimes if we can't be with other people, at least maybe we can still be with our animals and we can connect with them through the sacred dream doors.
You know, one thing I was thinking about when you just held up that book, I was just thinking about the majority of those stories, or at least the co-authors, the contributing authors, sorry, that I've had on this show, there's almost every single story has somebody that influenced their path, good or bad, somebody that either caught them doing something or not doing something, or when the bank said you're going to lose your house, or when somebody was an alcoholic and did, there's some other person that, you know, gave them a hug or came into a room or... And it's a different world right now. We can't even be next to the people that are passing away or being born. I mean, my son can't go to any of his wife's doctor's appointments. You know, she's pregnant until it's the ultrasound and delivery, period. That's it. So he can't even be there for her through this experience. It's crazy.
Peggy,
what are your thoughts?
You're the first person that's made that connection. I didn't even make that connection with all the stories. That's really fascinating. You're right. I mean, probably the majority of the stories in the book, there is a relationship or a connection with another person that was a driving force in the story. Yeah, that's really
you know,
really powerful.
The other thing, yeah, that was really profound to me, because Misty Time was on my book, you know, on my show months ago about forgiveness, and that her book completely shifted my life within 24 hours, like about face, like letter on my computer, ready to print it and send it. And I kind of sarcastically said it to her, and she leaned forward and she said, "You did not mail. I mean, we're on." I'm like, "No, don't." I mean, because it's so interesting with how somebody can either steer you to be like them, or you're going to be steered away to not be like them. It's almost a division, you know, a divided line. And in this book, with all these stories, there's a lot of hell no, I won't go. Like, I am not going to be like you. Or there's, like she said, there's the drunk uncle at the, you know, the 4th of July picnic, and you can either go and deal with him or not deal with him, but everybody still knows he's the drunk uncle. You're not going to probably change him. It's about people. Yeah. I guess. Okay. So Kathleen, what's that?
We published Misty's book, Sacred Stories Publishing. So I'm just thrilled that you had a life-changing experience from it. See, that's like, yeah, that's cool. Like, that's what I like to hear. You know, that's really impactful.
I did. And it affected another friend of mine with that night. That next night she contacted me and she said, "I saw that show and I never thought it would." You don't know how it's going to spin, right? You guys, that's why we read these stories. And her brother has passed very unexpectedly, and the relationship, how she wanted to somehow heal this, that on earth, but it was taken away from her. He was very young. And she has to work through that now, just like Misty did, that he's passed because it's over. So it's
Misty's story in Crappy to Happy is forgiving Betty time, and it is her story about her relationship with her mother.
Yep.
Which is one of my favorite. I shouldn't even say that because they're all my favorites, but that's a really powerful story in the way she writes.
It is a powerful one. It is a powerful one. Forgiving.
I think that many of the stories that, like you said, dealt with another person, but I think some of the strongest stories are the ones that dealt with family and forgiving family and remembering family after they'd passed.
It's the ones, James, too, where it's like the big, you know, the big ahas, or the ones who found spirit, the ones who found themselves, the one that found God, or there were some serious breakdowns. Dr. Wirth, Ann Wirth, was a literal, I didn't wake up until my 50s. I mean, her story is pretty, this book makes a difference, you guys.
It does. You know, I call it enlightened.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
It touches people. Mm-hmm. And that's really important, because we are creatures that want contact. And we want, most of all, in my view, is authenticity. Okay? So going through this, we're thrown back on our own selves. We're trying to open up spiritually to make that connection. Our soul wants to do that. And it's happening. And I think we can still reach out to community. We've just added an internet community to Celestine Vision, our website. And where it's, we're talking about all this. You know, how do you tune in spiritually? And we know how it works now. It works faster than ever. And so we're having that discussion, but it's authentic. So it crosses the ethers, and you see pictures, and you're writing with people on the internet, right? But it still touches. We can still
touch. You can see authenticity, and you can see that. I mean, no more filters. We can only use that on Instagram for so long. You can only do that for so long before you. I'm so glad that you're doing that. Yeah. All right, you guys, let's go around the room and tell everybody where they can find you and if you have a call to action, right? That's really important. So somebody's listening, walking, and you may be changing their lives with these stories tonight. Seriously, I know that's happening. And so Kathleen, I want you to just let everybody know where we can find you and then what might be a call to action, somebody listening.
Sure. Go to my website, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, or The Queen of Dreams. And at the very top right-hand corner, you'll see free gift. All of your audience tonight is welcome to click on that and download my free video Dream 101 course.
That's going to be my bedtime story. I'll do it. You guys, if you do, challenge, email me and we'll see if we did it together. Ariel, what about you? Where can we find you and what's your call to action for everybody today?
Yeah, sacredstoriespublishing.com is a great site to go to, and that's where you'll find Happy to Happy and all kinds of wonderful things. And I think my call to action would be to connect, to just reach out and touch someone. But no, it really is important. You know, the connection is important, and whether we can do it fully physically now, virtually, on the phone. Hey, maybe we should start letter writing again. How cool would that be? You know, everybody starts writing letters, right? That would be kind of interesting and phenomenal. But yeah, I say connect, you know, and even if you feel like there's no one you can connect to, there is, you know, and one of the things in the book, it's like, if you have nobody to connect to, see who you can help. See who you can, how you can help make the world a better place and connect in that way. But
it makes it bigger than yourself. Sometimes it's easier to help somebody else than yourself, which you don't realize it actually helps yourself.
Yeah, it honestly really does. But so yeah, reach out and touch someone. Yeah, that's my message.
Okay, James, what about you? Where can we find you and what might be your call to action today?
Well, you know, what I'm talking about mostly is community, you know, breaking through to your to spiritual experience, but do it in a community. So, and you know, we have our Celestine community. It's on CelestineVision.com, but there are other internet communities. So if the spirit's there in the community, if it's authentic sharing our common experiences, that sort of thing, you know, everybody can find one. So it's Facebook. It's very difficult because it's at war with itself. And but you know, so you need to find a community that transcends politics for a while, and that's, we don't even allow politics in our community. You know, go somewhere else.
Right,
we're talking
exactly.
about higher breakthrough to spiritual consciousness and that soul's urge and those kinds of things, because it'll reflect in politics.
Makes a difference.
And that's the real thing. I mean, if we don't get love back into, you know, heart open love back into politics, you know, it's just going to burn down. And
I know.
We don't want that to happen.
Oh, poor Ellen, who just keeps saying, just be kind to one another. Man, it sounds like, come on. All right, you guys. Well, I just want to say we're going to go to commercial. When we come back, I'm going to let you guys go and do your laundry or make dinner. I'm going to do fad or for real for my listeners. You guys know what I do. I look at a product or something out there that's crazy, and I have a question, another question from one of my listeners. So you guys go away, get something to drink, and come on back. You're listening to the Coach Peggy Show.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit SarahMaine.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. I hope that Mr. David put up my contact so you can see where to find me so we can have lovely conversations. If you missed the show so far, we were talking to the co-authors and the person who wrote the foreword, James Redfield and Kathleen Canavis. and Ariel Patricia. You guys, please go out and get that book. It's number one bestseller on Amazon. You'll have so much fun. You don't have to read it from beginning to end. That's the greatest thing, right? We're so busy. Just read one little story, come back, read a story, come back. What am I going to talk about? What do? We talk about fad or for real. And you know, I always go find something to bring back with you guys. And guess what I got for you? I'm so excited. I got a real gavel so that when I approve this, or I don't, you're going to hear about it. So what are we going to talk about today? I'm not going to slam it down because it makes noise. I want to talk to you about charcoal, toothpaste, and soap, and juice, and all that stuff that's out there. And you're don't laugh at me, okay? So we're going to talk about whether this is fad or for real. You guys, you know you have seen it. This black stuff is everywhere. There are a ton of commercials. There is money being spent. There are people going out and buying it, believing your teeth are going to be whiter. You believe that? And your skin's going to be so much softer and your tummy's going to feel so much better. I'm going to tell you what I think in a second. Okay. First of all, charcoal should only be used in one place, and that's the emergency room, because charcoal, poison adheres to charcoal. And so it helps when, like, our children have swallowed the Glade air fresheners, which my kid did when he was little. And so I just want to say to you, I have something in my house because my guy, you guys know that, he loves to buy 2-for-1s or 3-for-1s or 30-for-1s. And so we have charcoal toothpaste. And I just want to tell you that I am going to say that it is a fad. I'm out of here. I just tell you, I am done with the fad thing. No charcoal toothpaste in my house. Let's talk about a question. All right, what is the difference between working with men and women? Swear this is a question. I had this back in early part of COVID, and it came to me kind of as a funny ha-ha, but I wanted to answer it more seriously to you. There are significant differences between my coaching a male and my coaching a female. Let me tell you some of them. I'm not trying to be sexist whatsoever. They're just very different in Peggy's practice. Okay, what I find, the most common thing that I find is men don't think they're stressed. When I ask them if they're stressed, nope, they're not stressed. They also see absolutely no connection to their habits, their emotions to their habits. Okay, all the men are going to email me. It's okay. These are the ones that I work with. It's really difficult to get them to understand that getting to their goal weight or staying at their goal weight isn't the exercise isn't the way. They have to modify their food. They have to move. Yes, but we have to deal with stress. Stress increases inflammation, increases the scale, my men. Okay, the other thing that's a really big deal is not a lot of men belong to support groups and accountability and like-minded people when it comes especially to health and wellness. There's not a lot of, guys getting together and having a conversation about, you know, how they sleep or the newest juice smoothie that they're going to make. It just doesn't happen. And I also notice with my men that there is this, they have this job they feel to do, to be the leader of the house, to be the best CEO, the best president in the C-suite, and the best dad at the football game. And so what I find is the stress from that makes it really, really difficult. And they don't have the deeper conversations at work when they need to leave work, or they don't feel good like women do. So therefore, what do I do with my men? I really have to break it down to their history. Most often men are about learned behavior. Yes, they are. They're watching things. They're watching their parents. They're watching their friends. They're trying to, we need to break down those habits and make it about health and wellness and food. And guess what they also don't want to do? They don't want to tell their lady to make something different at home because they don't want to make her mad. All right, what do I have coming up? I have coming up a holiday train series that's going to start on November 15th to December 15th. And I'm going to help you figure out how to not gain more weight than we normally do during the season, because you've got some COVID weight you might want to keep off. And we're going to talk about stress points and how to make your holidays fun if you're stuck home and you can't go anywhere. Yes, we are. Last things last, I have two shows coming up that are going to just be amazing. I have a gentleman coming on, Christopher Rausch, who is the most hashtag excuse-proof coach out there. He's like my brother from another mother. He is going to be on next week, election. Yes, election night, 6 p.m. Be here. And then on the following, on the 10th, I'm going to have a gal who you could give her an award for having it all under 30 years old. She's going to talk to us about all sorts of things. You've been listening to the Coach Peggy Show. I absolutely love being with you guys, and I will see you next week, election night. Have a good night. Talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Coach Peggy Show, all things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in live the first and third Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Coach Peggy talks all things wellness, not just nutrition and fitness, but about all things, about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. The Coach Peggy Show, bold, badass, and never half in. For more information or to connect with Coach Peggy, visit allthingswellness.com. The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.